So we are holding on Mem Ches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that Reb Shimon we had a scenario where you have three people, each of whom are stuck within their four amos. So we said, suppose you have a scenario where the outer two don't have any overlapping space between them. So each one is allowed to eat or do whatever they want within their four amma zone, but they can't transfer anything from one to the others because they don't have any area in common. But we said you have a third person that shares some space with one, some of his four amas with one, and some of his four amas with the other. So we said that in that case, he would be allowed to join in. He'd be allowed to have a picnic in the area where he overlaps with the one. He'd be able to have a picnic with him. In the area where he overlaps with the other one, he'd be able to have a picnic with him. So he's able to, in effect, then what comes out is he's able to bring things into the middle area, into the common area that he shares with the first one and with the common area that he shares with the second one. But neither of them, neither the two outer ones, Reuven and Shimon, let's call them, are allowed to go into each other's reshus or to bring anything into each other's reshus. So in the Mishnah, Reb Shimon gave a comparison to a case where you have three chatzeres, each one has its own entrance and exit to Rosh Hashanah. Each one also has an entrance to the other one. So you're able to walk from one to the other. Each one is also able to walk individually out to Rosh Hashanah. And we said, if you have a case where the two outer ones each made their own individual Eruv with the middle one, then the result is you have a situation like you have in the Mishnah with the three people, where the two outer ones can't carry one to the other, but the middle one is able to carry freely back and forth with them. So we discussed in the Gemara yesterday what exactly the scenario is. How does it come that if the two outer ones made an Eruv with the middle one, how do we not end up with one big Eruv anyway? We said one scenario was that they put the Eruv foods into the side chatzeres. The other one we said is they put them into the middle one, but in two different houses. And we went through the ins and outs of that. So now the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Zud Divrei Reb Shimon. This is all according to Reb Shimon in our Mishnah. Now we said Reb Shimon brought up this analogy, and the Gemara explained on Amar Aleph that Reb Shimon had said to the Chachamim, namely to Reb Yehuda, given that you agree with me about the three people with the four amas each, you agree that we can do that, that Levi can eat in his common area with Reuven and his common area with Shimon, how come you don't agree with me when it comes to the Chatzeres? So we see that they argue with him. We see that they, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, argues with him with the Chatzeres. So what exactly do the Chachamim say as far as the Chatzeres? So as Zudivir of Shimon, Abba Chachamim Oynim, the Chachamim say no. Rishus Achas Meshameshas L'Shtei Rishuyas. One Rishus is able to serve for two Rishuyas. Abba L'Shtei Rishuyas Meshameshas L'Rishus Achas. But two Rishuyas cannot serve for one Rishus. What does that mean? Rashi, they have a few different explanations. Rashi explains that it means Kalim from the outer Chatzeres are allowed to carry them into the inner Chatzer. But not vice versa. Kalim that started Shabbos in the middle Chatzer are not, according to the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, are not allowed to carry it to either of the outer ones. So you have the scenario over here. People from Chatzer number one are able to carry in their own Chatzer and Chatzer number two, any Kali that was in their Chatzer at the beginning of Shabbos. Same thing Chatzer number three, but Chatzer number two, according to Rabbi Yehuda, can only carry within their Chatzer and not from it to Chatzer, not from it to Chatzer one or to Chatzer three. Unlike Reb Shimon, who had said that they can freely That just the opposite. In other words, Reb Shimon had said that the one in the middle is best off. He can carry freely. They can carry freely to each of the other chatzeres on the two sides of them. According to Rashi, Reb Yehuda is saying exactly the opposite, that the middle chatzer can only carry within their area and not from it to either of the other chatzeres at all. Well, so if a person from Chatzer number one takes a keli from his chatzer and brings it into chatzer number two, then yes, he's allowed to bring it back. But not, in other words, there's a difference. Where did the Kali start from on Shabbos? Right. Rashi explains, the point is, because you have the two outer chatzeres did not make an Eruv together, in effect, what you have is each one schleps it in its own direction. So you have, the result is that the middle one is like stuck. It's sort of like stuck in the middle. It sort of belongs to the other chatzer, which didn't make an Eruv with the other one, and vice versa. So therefore, the result is it can't carry to any of the other chatzeres. they made an Eruv with each of the outer ones, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold then, according to what Rav is saying, that that's good enough to allow the people from the outer Chatzeres to carry into the inner Chatzer, but not for the people from the inner Chatzer to carry to the outer ones. Because again, the logic is Chatzer number one only made an Eruv with Chatzer number two. So fine, they were allowed to carry, so therefore they were allowed to carry into that. The problem is that Chatzer number two also has number three on the other side of it. So Chatzer number one schleps it in one direction. In effect, Chatzer number one pulls it like you belong to my Eruv, but my Eruv doesn't include number three. And number three pulls it in its direction. You belong to my Eruv. You don't belong to the Eruv with number one. So therefore it's kind of stuck in the middle, and the result is it can't carry to either one. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos has a bunch of questions on Rashi on many different grounds, and Tosfos explains that it means like this. It means almost the opposite of Rashi. It means the middle one is able to carry freely to any of the other two chatzeres, but the outer ones are only allowed to carry within their own chatzer. They're only allowed to carry within their own chatzer. So number one is only allowed to carry in his area. He's not allowed to carry anything into chatzer number two. But people from chatzer number two are able. No, they're able to make a party in chatzer number one. They can bring their kalim into chatzer number one and have a party with them there. And they can make, they can carry their kalim into chatzer number three and have a party over there. But the people from see what it is. I was on mute. All right. I'm afraid we're not going to have much of a recording for today.
Is that over?
Well, it's, I don't know. Okay. It seems silly to start over. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe finish, then we have time to go back.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay. All right. So the point is anyway that we see from this Braisa what Shmuel is saying that each one of them is only a mutter in their chotzer but not outside of it. Okay. But as the Shmuel l'taimei, so Shmuel is going according to his own svara in a related din. The Amar Shmuel chotzer shevein shtei mevoyos. Shmuel says that if you have a chotzer between two mevoyos, so you have a scenario, in other words, you have a mavri on one side with some chatzeris opening into it, a mavri on the other side, same thing, and then you have one chotzer in the middle which has an entrance to each of those two mevoyos. So Shmuel says, Irva'im shneim, if the people of the middle chotzer made an eruv, not really an eruv, the shittur from avoyus, they joined in the shittur from avoyus with both of them, then the result is asura im shneim. Then it's also to carry to either one of them. Now Rashi explains that Shmuel holds, as we looked before, halacha kedivrei amekel be'eruv. Tosfos, actually, one of the points that Tosfos made when they had a bunch of questions on Rashi's explanation of our sugya, one of the questions was, where do we find Shmuel saying halacha k'divrei amekel be'eruv? We had Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi saying it. We never found Shmuel saying it. But on the side of it here, it brings a reference for Rashi from Yerushalmi and Mefarshim say that's an answer. That's an answer at least to that objection of Tosfos. Is it's fine. You don't find in the Babli that Shmuel holds that, but you find in Yerushalmi that he holds that. Anyway, so Rashi says he holds halacha k'divrei amekel be'eruv, which means, in other words, he has to hold the halacha as like Rabbi Shimon against Rabbi Yehuda over here. Now, if he held, like Rav said, that according to Rabbi Shimon, the people from the middle chotzer are able to freely carry among all three, or actually that all three, that people from the middle chotzer are able to freely carry with each of the other ones. Remember, that was what Rav understood of Shimon to be saying. The people from the middle chotzer can carry to each of the two outer ones. The outer ones can each carry only with the middle one. That was as opposed to, he said, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir. According to Rashi, he was machmir on the middle one, and according to Tosfos, he was machmir on the side ones. But whatever.
And where was Erev playing?
The Erev that it could be according to either Rabbi Yehuda or according to Rav Sheshes. We have the two different ways of explaining it. Either the Erevim were located in the side ones, or they were located in the middle one.
So why would the middle? Okay. So why would the middle one not be allowed to go here?
So that's the thing. According to Rav Shimon, he is. We said that according to Rav's understanding of Rav Shimon, he is. Okay. The people from the middle are allowed to carry to each of the outer ones. And the people from the outer one are able to carry to the middle one and back and forth.
Okay, they're shared.
All it is
they're sharing together, but they're not sharing with each other.
They're not sharing one and three. Don't share with each other, right. But anyway, the point is, now, again, if Shmuel agreed with Rav's understanding of that, then there wouldn't be any reason to say that the middle, now the case of the chotzer in the middle over here is similar to that, because he shares with both mavoyos. If he made an eruv individually with each mavoy, a shittuf that is, individually with each mavoy, there's no reason he shouldn't be able to carry to both of them. Obviously, Shmuel must hold that in our scenario of three chatzeres, the middle one, according to Shimon, the middle one is restricted where they can carry and where they can't. So therefore, again, according to Rashi, we say over here that according to Shmuel's understanding of Rav Shimon, which is the same as Rav's understanding of Rav Yehuda, then the middle one can't carry to each of the outer ones, which is exactly what he's saying over here. The middle one can't carry out to either Mavri, even though he made a shidduch with him.
But he's lechumah, right?
So that, it means that Shmuel is going lechumah, but he's saying even Rav Shimon is not allowing the middle one to carry to each of the outer ones. All Rav Shimon is allowing is for the outer ones to carry to the middle one. So people from the other Mavri could carry into the chotzer, but people from the chotzer can't carry to either of the outer Mavris. Again, according to Tosfos, you would have to understand it differently, and according to the Rashba, you'd have to understand it differently because they have a different understanding of what Rabbi Shimon and what Rabbi Yehuda are saying. Okay. Anyway, so we see that Shmuel is going according to his shita. Then Shmuel continues the din. Loi irva im shneim. If the middle one did not make an eight, or did not make an eight of that as a shittuv with either one of them, then you have the opposite problem. A seres al shnehem, then it's going to ask if people are not allowed to carry in either of those two mavoyos.
The middle guy?
The middle one, right. The middle chatzer. We're talking about the middle chatzer. If they don't make, which has an entrance to either, to both mavoyos, if they don't make a shittuv with either one of the mavoyos, then nobody is allowed to carry in those mavoyos. As usual, because you have, in order to carry in a mavoy, you have to have a shittuv where all the members of the chatzeres, all the people who live in the chatzeres around that mavoy are located over there.
The guy in the right left can carry with us on their own.
No, that's the thing. That's the problem. Again, we have three, we have a couple of scenarios. The first scenario was where they did make a shittuv with them.
Right.
So now the result is these guys are able to carry in their mavoy. These guys are able to carry in their mavoy. The people in the middle are not able, according to Shmuel, to carry out to either mavoy. Now we have, if they didn't make an eruv, not only they're not allowed to carry to the mavoy, but neither is anybody else.
Oh, they didn't make their own.
Because they didn't join in the shittuv. So these people made a shittuv for their mavoy, but that's not enough because you need these people to have joined in as well because they open out onto it also.
Oh, they ruin it
for them, and the same thing they ruin it for the other side exactly. And the third din, a hoisa be'echad regilo be'echad ain't a regila. Suppose that the people of this middle chaser usually go out through one mavoy and they don't as usually go out through the other mavoy. Then the din is zeshir regila by aser. So now if they didn't join in the shittuf mavoyos, the one that they regularly go in and out of is aser. The zeshir ain't a regila by mutter. The one that they don't use as often, the one that they don't use so regularly is mutter because they're not considered to be dayorim, that they're not considered to be yesh. Right. So Rashi explains exactly that. In other words, because the one that it's rugger with, this chatzir, is considered mine, it's considered part of it. Whereas the other one, it's not really considered part of, even though occasionally they use it. Amar Rav Barahuna. So now Rav Barahuna says, here's another din in that connection. Irva im she'en regilavoy. Suppose that the people of this chotzer in the middle, suppose that they made a shittuf with the one that they don't as regularly walk out of. So now the din is huter regilavatsmoy. Now what happens is the other one that they use more often is able to be mutter just with their own shittuf mavoyos. These guys didn't join in with them. That's fine. It doesn't matter. The fact that they did make a shittuf with a different mavoy, they made with the other one. So they regularly go in and out of this one. They don't as regularly go in and out of this one. Nevertheless, though, now that they made a shittuf with these, then in effect we consider them more part of this mavoy than this.
Which two made?
This chotzer in the middle made a shittuf with these people over here. They don't usually go out through this mavoy, but this time they decided to make the shittuf with them. The result is that now these people are considered something separate. So therefore, they can make their own shittuf, and good, they can carry in their mavoy. We're not worried about the fact that there's an opening from this chotzer.
These two cannot.
These two can carry in their mavoy, because they made a shittuf. What's the problem?
But this guy could.
These guys can make a separate shittuf of their own now for their own mavoy.
Okay. He's like, one person cannot do it himself, has to be to do it.
Because as long as you have two houses opening out into two chatzeres, into a mavoy, so okay, right, I mean, here they're only showing one chatzer. The point is, there would be more than one chatzer in this mavoy, so therefore, those chatzeres alone can join in and, And loy irav, what if they didn't make an eruv with either one of the mavoyas, vihi atzma loy irva, and let's say the chotzer in the middle did not make an eruv, what happens if the one that it doesn't usually go out to, suppose that they didn't make a shittuf. These people decided, for whatever reason, they didn't want to bother with a shittuf for the Shabbos. Let's say now the people of the chotzer also did not make a shittuf with either one. They didn't choose to join. They didn't ask these guys, do you want to do a shittuf? They didn't join with this one either. So now the result would be, so we would say, doichin oitza eitzel she'en regula. Then what we say is the people from the chotzer that they more usually go out of are of the mavoy rather than the what? No, no, one second. Loy irav v'hi atzma loy irva. If the one she'en regula did not make their own shittuf, and the chotzer in the middle did not make a shittuf with either side, doichin oisa, the people from the one that regila, the one that they more usually walk out of, which now is going to be osir as a result of them not joining in the shittuf, they're able to say, no, doichin oisa, eitzel she'en regula. We push you off to the one that that you don't usually go in and out of. They anyway didn't make a shidduch for their mavui, so they're anyway not going to be able to carry in their mavui. You didn't join in with us. If we considered you part of our mavui, then we would be also to carry in our mavui. We don't want that. You anyway didn't make a shidduch with anybody, so just be considered part of that mavui, and for the Shabbos, you can't carry in that mavui. And in fact, some of the Mefoshim say it means they can actually tell them, don't even walk out of our mavui during Shabbos, because if you do, you can ask it for us. This is an example of koifin al midas zayim, where we say to the people in the middle chatzar, look, you're not losing anything by this, because but we stand to gain. If you're not considered part of our mavui, we'll at least be able to carry in our mavui on the basis of our shidduch. So don't be considered part of our mavui for this Shabbos, so you don't ruin things for us. That would be an example of koifin al midas zayim.
Yisam would be on which person?
On the people in the middle chatzar. If they demanded and they said, no, we definitely want to be considered part of this mavui, we demand the right to be able to walk in and out of this mavui on Shabbos. Yeah. So now they're ruining it for the other guys, and the other guys can tell them, you know what, for this Shabbos, go use the other mavui.
Yeah, choice to make it.
Yeah. More dinim about Eruv Chatzeres. So really, I mean, the dinim of Eruv Chatzeres mostly belong in the 6th and 7th parak of our Masechta. But over here, since we were talking about Eruv Chatzeres in connection with our Mishnah, so the Gemara is digressing a little bit to talk about some other dinim of Eruv Chatzeres. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamakbid al Eruvay ein Eruvay Eruv. If a person is makbid, he doesn't want other people to eat the food that... If a person is makbid on his Eruv, and he doesn't want anybody to eat from it, so then ein eruv, it's not considered a valid eruv. Because mashmoy, eruv shmoy, because after all, what's the name of it? It's called eruv, which implies that everybody is mixed together, and in fact, Rashi explains, also the word eruv is related to the word orev, which means pleasant. So it means there has to be a pleasantness, and there has to be a joining together, very appropriate before Yom Kippur, that in other words, nobody is makbid that I gave this food, how you talk, and you're eating it, and if he does, if he's makbid like that, then it can't really be considered an Eruv, because it defeats the whole purpose. Rav Chanina Oma Eruv Eruv, Rav Chanina says, no, it still is considered a valid Eruv. Elishin Nikra Me Anshe Vardina. What happens is, though, we can call such a person who's makbid on that, we can call him some person from Vardina. Vardina was a place in Bava where the people were very cheap. So you're allowed to call him a nickname like that. You'd be allowed to call him a cheap person for that. But you can't actually say that he's passing the Eruv, by that. One thing it mentions in Shulchan Aruch, most of the Rishonim Paskin like Shmuel in this. So the result would be, therefore, that you shouldn't use food for your Eruv Chatzeres that you prepared for Shabbos, because then you're going to be makbid on it. You don't want people to eat it because you prepared it to eat on Shabbos. So then you want to eat it for Shabbos. So therefore, better you should use other food. Nowadays, when you use a box of matzah, you're not makbid on it. You set it aside for the year.
So this guy, who would be able to use this Eruv?
So we're saying, according to Shmuel, nobody's able to use this Eruv. Because since you have one person joined in with it who is Machbid, then it's not an Eruv anymore. And therefore, he's asking on everybody else. According to Rav Chanina, he still is, the Eruv is still valid. He's just a cheap person.
Even though in the Eruv, two people chip in. So
each person chips in, exactly. Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, another jinn, Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Hacholak es Eruvay Eina Eruv. If a person divides up his Eruv, so he puts it in a number of different kalim, let's say, then it's not considered an Eruv. The Gemara says, Command to this Shammai. What do you mean? That seems to be like this Shammai. We learned yesterday, Ditanya, Chamisha Shigogu es Eruv, and if five people, or however many people, gathered together their food for the Eruv, when a Sanur of a Shnei Kalim, and they put it into two kalim, this Shammai ends the Eruv of a Salam, and is the Eruv. So, according to Basil, it should be valid. How can Shmuel say that's no good? We can't go according to this Shammai. The answer is, Afilo Tema Basil. We can even say that Shmuel is going according to Basil. Ad Kan, look to Ami Basil, Hossam, Elabimalian, Lamon of Iyatha. Basil is talking about a scenario where you filled up the container and there was some left over. You didn't get to begin with a big, you didn't realize how much you have, and you put it into a smaller container, and now you realize you have too much and you need a second container for the rest. So then Bissela would hold that that's a valid Eruv. Abel Hocha, the powder, Niflag, Loi, here, where you divided it to begin with, and not. So in Shulchan Aruch, it just brings the din generically that if the first Kaili was full, and then you put in the second Kaili, then it's still valid, because of course the Halacha is like the Silo. There is one of the Achronim, the Torah Chaim, wants to say that maybe it only would work, though, if to begin with you didn't know how much you have, and therefore you misjudged the size of the Kaili that you need. But if, let's say, you knew to begin with, you have a large amount, and you said, you know what, I'm going to put as much as will fit in this Kaili in the one, and then I'll put the rest in another Kaili, the Torah Chaim wants to say maybe that's no good. Okay.
Even though it's in the same refrigerator.
Even though it's in the same refrigerator. Well, the truth is, if it's in the same refrigerator, you have a good point. Maybe the refrigerator is considered one big Kaili that would make it good. But so let's say not. Let's say it's two boxes of matzah that are on the shelf or something. I don't know.
Okay,
so the Gemara says, "Tauti lomali." Now, so Shmuel has just told us two dinim. Number one, that if a person is makbid on his eruv, then it's not an eruv. And number two, that if you divide it up into two kalim, it's not an eruv. Why does he need to tell us both dinim? On the face of it, if in both of them he's saying that it has to be an eruv, it has to be blended together, it has to be that nobody is makbid, then that amounts to the same thing. The Gemara says, no, seriously, we still need both dinim. If we were only told in the first case where the person is makbid and he doesn't want anybody to eat the food, you would say, you know why it's not an eruv? It should be kofin. Precisely that, because he's makbid, so he's showing that he's not really blending it together and he's not orev with everybody else. Abel hacha im aloy, but if it's in two kalim, okay, so it's in two kalim. Maybe that doesn't prevent it from being considered an eruv. The Iyashmin and Hacha, on the other hand, if he only told us the case of the two Kalim, you would say the problem is Mishum de Pauge Miflag. The fact is, we separated it into two Kalim. Aval Hassam, but where you have it all in one Kaili, you have one person is makbid, I don't want my food to be eaten, but the fact is, it is physically all in one Kaili, and it's only as Kpeda. Emalo, you would think maybe that's not a problem. Tzricha, and therefore Shmuel has to tell us both Dinim. So whether it's a matter of Kpeda, or whether it's a matter of two Kalim, either way, it's no good. Again, if it's in two kalim only because it wouldn't fit in one kali, then it's fine. Okay. Rav Abba asked Rav Yehuda in the wine press of Rav Zakkai. So Rav Zakkai was busy pressing his grapes, and Rav Yehuda and Rav Abba were there, and Rav Abba took the opportunity to ask Rav Yehuda.
What's the word
atzart? Atzart means the wine press. The word otzar has a few different meanings. It means to hold back, that's what otzar as a shemayim, but it also means to squeeze. It's one of those words that sort of means the opposite, yeah. In support of Siddim from Rav Zevin, he has a little Chassidish Maisa about a guy who's davening when there's a drought, there hasn't been any rainfall for a while, and there's this simple yid who's davening with Kavana, but Otzer Asa Shemayim, he knows that the word Otzer means to squeeze, the Eidoshim should squeeze out the heavens and get every drop of rain out of it, and then that is Tzvila was Niskabel. Yeah, the word Otzer can mean to squeeze. So Beimat Sauta means a wine press. And why the Gemara would be pointing out that they're in the wine press, one thing is, we find, for example, there's a Mishnah in Krisus that tells about how Rabbi Akiva asked a certain Shaila to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua when they were in the meat market, they were in the animal market buying an animal for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son. The point is, I think Rashi says over there that even while they're so busy with their business, they're constantly fartifed in Torah, and Rabbi Akiva knew that he can ask them a question in Torah then, and they can discuss it. So it could be the same thing over here. Anyway, whatever it is, so he asked them like this. Did Shmuel really say that if the food for the Eruv is divided up, then it's not considered a valid Eruv? Shmuel also said a din that the house where you put the Eruv food does not need to contribute food towards the Eruv. We know the way it works is you have, let's say, five houses opening into the chatzah, so you can gather a certain amount of food from each one. And you place all that food in one place, but you only need four of the houses to contribute. The fifth one is where you're putting it. They don't actually need to contribute food. Now, Lachora, my timer, why shouldn't they need to? Lav Mishum de Omer, de Kivin de Manach Basala, Kamanda Manach Hochadami. Lachora, the reason is because the Pashtos, the fifth house, also has bread or other food that they can use for the Eid of Chatzeres. So their bread, which is in the basket, is considered as though it's placed over here. So in effect, you have an Eruv that's placed in two places. You have the Eruv, they have the food that was collected from the other four, which is placed now in one place, and then you have the fifth house's own food, which is someplace else in their bread box or whatever, and it sounds like it still counts. So Hachanami came into the Manach Basala, command the Manach Hachadami. So shouldn't it be the same thing? If it's divided into two, we should say that it should be good. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda answers, no, you got it wrong. Hosam Alpha Pisha ain't pass. No, actually, even if the fifth house has no bread in it at all, or no food that they can use for an Eruv Chatzeres, nevertheless, they still don't have to give any. My timer, the Kulu Hachadayim. The reason is because the Eruv Chatzeres, in effect, makes it that everybody lives in this one house. The reason is, a person lives, the whole point of an Eruv, as we've been discussing all this time, is a person lives where their food is. So Balabais himself definitely lives there. So he's living there regardless. The other people, when they bring their food over there, it's considered like they're living there also. So therefore, he doesn't have to supply any food because this is his own house. Of course, he's living here.
So make sure you bring your Eruv to the guy who doesn't want to.
So I guess make sure you bring your Eruv to the cheap person who doesn't want to. Yeah, I guess that could be. Yeah. By the way, there is a line it says in Mishnayos Gittin that says that if there's a house in the chotzer where you regularly place the Eruv, you should continue putting it there with Nedar Shalom. And one reason is precisely because of this din, since they don't have to supply food for the Eruv, if later on you decide to change it, then that's likely to create quarrels. What do you mean? Why should I have to give food when all this time I didn't? So therefore, better keep it in the same place from paying back the shalom. Yeah. So now let's get into the more general question. What's the mechanism by which an Eruv works? Let's discuss that point. So Amar Shmuel, Eruv Mishum Kinyan. Shmuel says that the Eruv works as a form of Kinyan. In other words, in effect, what we say is the Bala Bais, where they put the food, is Machna his Rishus to them. So now it comes out that they all share it in common. He was makna part of his house to them. So now, in effect, each of them owns an area in his house, and therefore it's considered that they all live there.
By chipping in
some food, it's considered they were koina the house. They were koina some part of the house with that food. The house where they placed the eruv, they acquired a share in that house by giving the food, right? So you're going to ask, in that case, why do you definitely need to give food? Why not use a small coin instead and then do it that way? The reason is, because people don't always have small coins available on Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, people have spent their money on food, and now, coming into Shabbos, they don't necessarily have money in the house.
All the famous stories.
Yeah. Well, the famous stories actually are where they didn't have food either. Is where they didn't have food and they didn't have money. Here we're talking about they have food. They just
like jewelry and they bought land.
Yeah, well, that's because in those stories where they had to sell their jewelry or whatever, for example, the Karshan of Tamagin's parents or whatever. Yeah, the point is they didn't have food and they didn't have money. And then she found that beautiful button from her old dress or whatever and sold it. Yeah, all those stories. But fine, here we're talking about, you know, people aren't quite that poor, but they use their money to buy food. They earn money during the week. They use it to buy food for Shabbos. And right now they're out of money. Okay. Or maybe not money. I mean, at least let's put it this way. At least they're out of small change. They may have larger coins.
The idea is you have to be able to eat the Eruv on Shabbos.
The Eruv Tchumen primarily, we said you have to be able to eat it on Shabbos. The Eruv Chatzeres is not necessarily, the Eruv Chatzeres has to be food. But we're asking, why did the Chachamim make the Takana that it has to be food? The answer is because money is not always available, because money is not always available on Eruv Shabbos. So Tosfos points out, when it comes to a shit of mavoyas, the chacham mamekel, and they say you can use other kinds of food. When it comes to an eruv chatzeres, then we say you have to use bread because bread is the most common thing that you have around the house. Everybody has bread, and most of the time everybody has bread in their house.
That flour you brew.
So the question is still heicha de eruv miulikni. The question is, okay, so we're saying people don't usually have small change on Erev Shabbos, but let's say a person does. Why shouldn't he be able to give some of that and be koina a share in the house that way? The answer is gzeira. Shemayemru ma'iker, because we make a gzeira. We didn't want that because people might then think that the money is the most important thing, that that's the primary way of making an eruv. V'zimnin v'lo shchiach ma. So what's going to happen? Sometimes a person is out of small change before Shabbos. V'lo yosi le'eruvi b'pas. And then they're going to figure, I don't need to give, they've been used to all this time, I give money. They're not going to be used to the idea that you give bread. And then the Osi Eruv, then you have just the other way around. Then the Takana of Eruv ends up creating a problem. Where now you have, now they didn't make an Eruv, that Shabbos at all. So therefore, the Hatzchilah, we want to do something that's always going to be available, namely bread. Okay, so that's one explanation of the mechanism by which an Eruv works, that in effect, they're koina a share of the house with it. Rabba Amar Eruv Mishum Dira. Rabba says that no, the Eruv works, as we just said before, Mishum Dira, it works on the grounds that everybody is, it's considered that everybody is living in that one house. Because their food is there and a person lives where their food is. So the question is, Mai Benayu, what are the practical differences between Shmuel's reason that it's Mishum Kinyan and Rabba's reason that it's Mishum Dira? The answer is, there's a few. Ike Benayu Kli. One Nachimina would be, what if you use a Kinyan Sudr? So in one way, so you're, when you're acquiring karka, one valid way of acquiring karka is with a keli, is with his kinyan chalipin. In fact, actually, Tosfos points out, really, if we say Eruv Mishum Kinyan, we know that usually you can't use food for a kinyan chalipin. So how does it work over here? So Tosfos explains, it's not so much kinyan chalipin. When you give, remember, you have a few different ways of buying karka, one that are valid off the Torah. One of them is kesef. One of them is when you have kesef, shtar, and chazaka, and you have also kinyan chalipin you can do. So like this, if you consider the bread to be as kinyan chalipin, it wouldn't work. You can't do kinyan chalipin with food. But you can do it because the bread has a monetary value. So therefore, in effect, it's like shavah kesef. Like you're paying him, you're giving him a piece of bread, which is worth a pruta, and therefore he's making you a share in his house for that. So the question is, what if you use a keli and you're meaning to use it as kinyan sudr? You're not actually giving him the keli to keep. You're just doing a kinyan sudr like when we do with the rav by mechiras chametz or something. So would that work?
But if they want to keep, they can keep it.
Fine. But okay, Rashi points out also the sudr doesn't even have to be worth a shavah prota. As opposed to when you coin a bekesef, it has to be a shavah prota at least. So would you be able to do an eruv with the kinyan sudr? If we say like Shmuel says mishum kinyan, then yes. If you say it's mishum dira, then not, because a kinyan sudr has nothing to do with dira. A person doesn't live where their kinyan sudr is. A person lives where their food is. So that's one nafkamina. Another is a pachas mishavah prota. Another one would be, can you use food that is less than a shavah prota? So again, if it's Mishum Kinyan, then no. If it's Mishum Dira, then yes. If it's Mishum Kinyan, you would need at least a Prota. And a third thing, the cotton. A third thing would be, can you use a cotton? Now, what does that mean? Rashi says it means, can you send a cotton as a shliach to make the Eruv Chatzeres for you? So a cotton can be koine, he can't be makne. So therefore, he can't be makne the food to the others. But if you say it's mishum dira, then it doesn't matter because the cotton is just bringing the food from point A to point B. He's not actually doing any kind of kinyan.
So the point is,
if we say that's mishum dira, the cotton is bringing the food from point A to point B. He's putting it over there, but he's not actually creating he's not doing anything in terms of kinyan. The point is, the person to whom this food belongs, now they have their dira over there. They have the da. Now to have their dira over there. Tosfos doesn't like that explanation on a few different grounds. So Tosfos says that maybe if we're going to accept Rashi's explanation, we would have to say there's a difference between a really little cotton who doesn't know anything about kinyan and about being kohen and matan at all versus an older child who's still below bar mitzvah. Anyway, Tosfos brings an explanation from Rabbeinu Hananel. We're talking about not that the cotton is a shliach to collect the food for the Eruv, but rather a house in the chotzer that's owned by a cotton. If we say it's Mishum Kinyan, then he can't be Machne, any part of his house to the other people. If we say it's Mishum Dira, then you could. Okay. Amalei Abaya l'Rabba. Now, Abaya says to Rabba, l'didoch kasha or the shmor kasha. You should know that both your explanation of that it's Mishum Dira and Shmuel's explanation that it's Mishum Kinyan, there's a problem with it. Because Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa, Chamisha Shigahu Eseruvan, if five people or however many people collect together the food for the Eruv, and now let's say they want to, now they want to make an Eruv with the next Chatzar over, like the scenario in our Mishnah, we had three Chatzeris and they want to make an Eruv one with another. So Chemilichin Eseruvan L'makom Acher, when they're bringing that food to the next Chatzar over, they don't need to all carry it together. Echad Moilach L'kulam. One person can bring it on behalf of all of them.
Someone goes knock door.
So in other words, you have in the first chatzir you had five people or how many people gathered together and they pulled the food together for the Eruv. Now they're taking that food over. The common way they did it, by the way, in those days, it wasn't necessarily when we say they gave bread, it wasn't necessarily they would give pieces of bread, although they could. Again, you just put it in one keli. A very common way to do it was each one would give a certain amount of flour and then it would be baked into one big challah. Anyway, the point is, however it's done, whether it's a challah, whether it's a bunch of individual slices of bread in a container, whatever it is, we're saying now, the people of this chatzar, now, okay, we have our Eruv, but we want to now join with the next chatzar over, so we need somebody to bring it over. They don't all five need to walk over together. One person can take it and bring on behalf of all of them. Now, the problem is, who knew to kakoni v'tuloi? Who knew to kadaya v'tuloi? Wouldn't it be whether you say it's mishum kinyan? If you say it's mishum kinyan, in effect he's doing the kinyan only for himself. If you say it's mishum dira, he's creating a dira for himself. How is he doing it on behalf of everybody else? Okay. In what way is it on behalf of everybody else? In fact, Rashi explains, because we could be talking about, even let's say, again, you don't have to have that each one of them contributed food to the Eruv. You can have that he had food of his own, that he was makne to all of them, which is how we usually do it nowadays, right? One person takes a box of matzah and is makne to all the other neighbors around that building or whatever, right? So they didn't necessarily chip in b'chlal. He could have been koina the whole thing. Now, if that same person goes over to the next chatzar, then he's coming on behalf of himself. In what way is he doing it as a shlichus for them? Amalei, so Rabbi answers him, lo v'didi kasha v'lo v'shmol kasha. There's no problem either on what I said or on what Shmuel said. Shlichus to call the kavod, because either way, he is doing it as a shlichus on behalf of all of them. So therefore, yeah, so even whether they contributed or not, once they made an Eruv, it's considered all like one person, and they're considered all like one group, and now he's doing it as a shlichos on behalf of the rest of them. Okay. Getting back to our Mishnah, when we have the case of the three chatzeros, who is the halacha like? Amar Rabba, Amar Avchama, Baguria, Amar Rab, halacha could Reb Shimon, so the halacha is like Reb Shimon, and that means according to Rab's understanding of Reb Shimon, which means that the middle chatzer can carry to each of the two outer chatzeros, and each of the two outer chatzeros can carry back and forth to the middle one, just the outer two can't carry to each other.
That's speaking of the Eruv is in the middle.
That's talking about, again, according to Reb Yehuda, where the Eruv is each in the side ones, and according to Reb Sheshes, we're in the middle one, but in two separate houses. Because if they were in the middle one in one house, and it was all in one keli and all, then we would say it's considered one big Eruv, and they'd be able to carry freely among each other.
Even from the
outer one to the outer one.
So we must say that, speaking about the
so
again,
it's two separate Eruv. Either in two separate Chatzeres, in the two outer Chatzeres, or in two houses in the middle Chatzer. Okay. Okay. Mishnah says, getting back now to the mat. So now we're going to go back to the, we're still in the middle of discussing the case. Mostly in our perek, we're discussing the matter of Eruv Tchumen. We just digressed over here to talk a little bit about Eruv Chatzeres, but the subject of our perek is Eruv, is not so much Eruv Tchumen, but specifically Tchumen, the din of what Tchum does a person have, where is it measured from, when does he have a Tchum, when does he not. So the Mishnah says, Misha Baba Derech, if a person was traveling on the road, v'chosh chaloi, and it's getting dark, it's almost Shabbos, but he's too far away from the city to be able to, he's more than 2,000 amas from the city, but v'hoya makir ilon egeder, he recognized that on the way there's a tree or there's a fence, which he happens to know is less than 2,000 amas from where he is now, and also less than 2,000 amas from the city. If he says, my makam shvisa is underneath it, let's say in the case of a tree, underneath the tree, loy amaklum, what he said doesn't count for anything. Now, what does it mean it doesn't count for anything? We'll see in the Gemara, but the basic idea is because he didn't determine where exactly it is. The tree is a big area. He has to determine a specific spot or a specific four amas, which is going to be his makam shvisa, and the tree is larger than that.
But if he says shvisasi v'ikroi, but if he says more specifically, my makam shvisa is at the trunk of the tree, so then that's good. So he knows. So now we're good. Mahalach mimakam raglavad ikroi apayim amah. Now he's able to walk from where he is now until the trunk, which is makam shvisa, 2,000 amas, and umi ikroi ad beis apayim amah. And he's able to now walk, assuming that that tree is within 2,000 amas of the city, within 2,000 amas of where his house is in the city. That is, then he's able to walk another 2,000 amas to his house.
So, in effect,
his Makam Shvisa is not the place where he was at the beginning of Shabbos. His Makam Shvisa is the place that he determined in advance is going to be his Makam Shvisa.
He wasn't there when he made it.
But that's fine.
So he's creating an Erev?
He's creating an Erev mentally, right. Right. So it comes out that after Shabbos began, he's still able to walk 4,000. He's still able to walk 4,000 amas.
Two and two.
Yeah. What happens im einay makir? What if he doesn't recognize a landmark like that? Or he doesn't know the relevant halacha. He doesn't know that he's able to make an eruv like that at a distance from where he is. But amash v'sasi b'makomi. So he just says my makom shvisa is going to be exactly where I am now. So then, good. Then he's zoicha for himself 2,000 amos in every direction. In other words, that becomes his makom shvisa. So he has 2,000 amos. If he happens to be within 2,000 amos of the city, wonderful. Then he can get to the city. If not, then he's going to have to spend Shabbos out in the field. Tosfos discusses over here when we say Omar, does he actually have to say shvisasi b'makomi? We learned earlier in the perek, for example, we said there was a case where he was sleeping, and Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri said that that's good enough, and he's kohen shvisa that way. So in other words, so when it comes to this, in the first case of the Mishnah where he wants to make his makom shvisa elsewhere, for sure he has to say it, because otherwise what's determining it? But over here, where he's just making it in his place, Tosfos says not necessarily would he have to actually say it. Maybe it's enough just that he's there.
If he's walking, there's no one with him, and he says, okay. That's me by place. Yeah, that's not good. Yes.
So that's, you actually have a machlokas aposke. I think you have a machlokas who's showing him on that, whether thinking it is good enough or whether maybe you have to say it in the case of the tree or the fence or whatever. Okay. Now, what is this tchum? When we say a person has a tchum of 2,000 amas, agulos divid of Chanina ben Antigonus. Rav Chanina ben Antigonus says it's a circle around where he's located. The tchum in general is circular. You don't square it off. But Chum say no, you square it off like a squared off piece of wood. You gain by that the corners. If you're walking, if he's out there in the middle of nowhere, and let's say the city is directly north of him, then yeah, he can only walk 2,000 amas. And if the city is not 2,000, let's say the city is northeast of him, and he goes to the northeast, then he gains. He has an extra few hundred amas that he's able to get by walking towards the diagonal. Why do we say, by the way, Tavla Murubas, the Rambam explains in Pirush HaMishnayis, Bartanura brings it also, the vote is like this. What do we mean, how square does it have to be? Like, for example, when someone makes a square table or a square piece of wood or whatever, is it square down to the millimeter? Lavdavka, I mean, okay, maybe with modern day measure of lasers and whatever, maybe you can, but not with measuring tools like they had in the old days. It looks about square, then it's square. The same thing over here. When we say 2,000 amas square, it doesn't necessarily mean square exactly to them. It means as square as you can make it, as square as you can mentally make it, basically. Especially, we're going to learn in the next parak, actually, that it becomes a little bit complicated when the land has dips and hills and whatever, how exactly you measure it. Okay. This is what Chachamim mean when we say that a poor person is able to make an Eruv on foot. Because that's, in effect, he's a poor person over here. He's on the road. He doesn't have the ability to put food down there 2,000 amos away from him. So we say, he makes an Eruv, the place where he made by the trunk of the tree, he's making an Eruv there by coming there on foot. And that becomes his Makom Shvisa.
But he comes there before.
He comes there after Shabbos began already, but he had it in mind before Shabbos. He already said it before Shabbos. Amr of Meir Ein Manu Ela Ani. So the Meir says, in that case, if a Chachamim said that this applies to an Ani, then it applies only to an Ani. An Oshir, or even a person who's at home and has food, doesn't have that heter of being Ma'arav Badagla. He daf gas to be Ma'arav with food. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, no. Echad Ani Ba'echad Oshir. Rabbi Yehuda says that, no, whether an Ani or an Oshir is able to do that, an Oshir also, who's at home, if he wants to schlep out there and go to his Mokum Shvisa and stay there doing Ben Ashmashis, he can do that. Loi Amru, Ma'arim Repas, Ela Lahakal Ala Asher, why the Chachamim say you can make an Eruv Tumen with bread or with other food is just as a kula for the rich person. Shalai Yetzir Ya'arav Beragla. He doesn't have to go and schlep out there and make them and be there. Bein Hashmashes, he can send a Shliach with the food. But we can bring the food there earlier in the day as long as he knows that it'll be safe there when Shabbos begins. But when during Bein Hashmashes. But like this, Rabbi Yehuda says, if he wants to make an Eruv Beragla, then sure, he can do that also. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. My loy amaklum, when we say in the first part of the Mishnah that if he said shvisasi b'tachtov, that if he says my makom shvisa is under the tree, loy amaklum, so what does it mean, loy amaklum? Amar Rav, loy amaklum kol iker. Rav says it means what he said doesn't count as anything, meaning that afil l'tachtov shel ilon le'masi ozil. He's not even going to be able to go to the bottom of the tree, meaning he's going to be limited only to 4 amas. Why? Because Rav says like this. He didn't say a valid makam shvisa because he just said under the tree, which is more than 4 amas. He was also oiker das from his present place. So you can't say his present place is his makam shvisa because he specifically said he doesn't want it. Therefore, he doesn't have a makam shvisa. So all he has is 4 amas, like any case where a person is outside the tour. So actually, the Gemara is going to discuss. The Gemara is going to discuss. We're going to learn tomorrow. That's the Shem. Two possible reasons why we may learn it today. I guess we'll see. Two possible reasons why Rav says this. But anyway, Rav says that it doesn't count for anything. So he only has 4 amas. So he's not even going to be able to get to the tree. Shmuel says it means he didn't say anything as far as that he can't go all the way home. He can't do like the Mishnah says, 2,000 amas to the tree, and then another 2,000 amas home, because the tree didn't become the he didn't define where his makom shvisa is. He is going to be able to go as far as the underneath the tree, and the nasa taft of shel ilon chamor gamol. What's going to happen is he's going to be in a situation that we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned in the previous parak called Chamor Gamol, where there's a certain overlapping area which we have to say maybe it's part of his tchum and maybe not. In other words, Rashi explains, the first, Rashi gives 2 explanations of it. It means like this. In effect, what we say is that he has 2 possible Mokai Mishrissa, either at this end of the tree or at this end of the tree. So what do we do? So Shmuel is saying, therefore, what we say is, so let's say, for example, Rashi gives a scenario, let's say that the whole tree covers an area, let's say it's 30 amas. You have the picture in Rashi over here, a beautiful picture, beautiful tree drawn at the bottom of the Amud over there, where the tree is 30 amas wide. So we don't know which 4 amas he picked, but we know there's a 4 amas under the tree. It could be the northernmost 4 amas, it could be the southernmost. So we say, fine, as long as also the southernmost 4 amas, as long as the most distant 4 amas are still within his 2,000 amas, then fine, he can walk to there. As far as walking home, it's going to have to be the other way around. We're going to have to see. We're not going to measure from there to his house. We're going to have to measure from the other end of the tree to his house. So in other words, he loses a few amas. He loses 15 amas by that, but still fine. If his house is only 500 amas away, then he's good either way, let's say. That's Rashi's first explanation. Rashi has Rashi says, I don't really like that explanation so much. So he says that actually what it means is, that means he will be able to walk as far as the tree, but then that's it. He's not going to be able to walk from the tree. He's not going to be able to walk from the tree any further. Or rather, if the house itself is within 2,000 amas, then fine. But other than that, he's only going to be able to walk to the tree. And that's that. In other words, we're going to say the place where he was now is not, no, sorry, what Rashi says is rather like this. Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers, is we're going to say maybe his makam shvisa is where he was standing. Maybe his makam shvisa is under the tree. So the distance from here to the tree he can walk, because either way, whichever one is considered his tchum, that's within his tchum, but he can't walk anywhere beyond the tree, or at least not very far beyond the tree, because that might be outside the tchum. Let's say if the tree was 2,000 amas from where he was standing when Shabbos began, then any further than tree might be outside his tchum. And vice versa, if the tree is considered his makom shvisa, then his house would be inside the tchum, but the original place where he was wasn't. So therefore, he's limited only to the area between where he is now and the tree. That's Rashi's second explanation.
Yeah,
it's also Chamor Gamor. So what it means is, so Bol limded minat sof and modin lamina dorim. So if he's coming, let's say, from the north, then you have to measure from the tree from the south. In other words, again, according to the first explanation, that you have to consider the area, the size of the tree. And therefore, that, and according to the second explanation, you have to consider the whole possible place where his tchum is. So either way, he's going to be losing a certain amount of area. Let's go a little bit further and explain. Amar Rabba, my time of the Rab. So Rabba says, why does Rab Shmuel? We understand. Where he's Kodesh Shvisa someplace, either where he is now, or under the tree, or under some part of the tree. But why is Rab saying he's not Kodesh Shvisa at all, not here and not there, such that he only has four Amas? Mishum Dwan, Messiah Masri. So Rab would say, because he didn't specify a particular place, and therefore he doesn't have a Makam Shvisa at all, because we don't know which four Amas it is. So therefore, so he has nothing.
But if he had in mind,
but that's what we said in the Mishnah. If he had in mind, by the trunk of the tree, that's a defined place. So then he has that.
Even though it's wide.
Oh, so we're going to talk about in the Gemara eventually. What if the trunk itself is more than 8 amas wide? We'll get to that eventually. Let's say the trunk is narrow enough that no matter what, the sum part of his 4 amas is defined. So then that's fine. The Ikka de Amri Omer Rabba, my time of the Rab, others say that Rabba said a different reason why Rab says, Mishrum de Kasavar, Rab holds like this, Kol She'ene Bezeh Acharzeh, whenever you have something where you can't first do something and then do something else, Afilu Bevas Achas Eino, then it doesn't even work even if you did them Bevas Achas. Meaning, what happens over here when it comes to the Makom Shvisa, you can't say, first, I want the north 4 amas of the tree to be my Makom Shvisa, and then say I want the south one to be my Makom Shvisa. You can't have both. You have to choose one or the other. Therefore, even if you did it in a way where it's going to be one or the other, and you're not sure which one it is, then neither one can be chal. In other words, where you have something where you could do this, and then in addition you could also do this, then fine. If you said to begin with, I want all of this, then fine, it can be chal. But here, you have only one or the other. At the end, you have to have a Makom Shvisa, which is only 4 amas. So therefore, like this, even if it was Babasakas, he said the whole tree together, then it doesn't work.
Because
you can't have both. So the Gemara says, my binayah, what's the practical difference between these two explanations? The answer is, Ikka binayah, drama literally ba'arba amas migoshmona. What happens if you have the tree was 8 amas wide, and he said, I want 4 amas out of that 8? So if you say it's because he didn't specify which 4, hold on, Messiah and Asre. Well, he didn't specify which 4. That you, in this case, it would work because it is considered like 4 amas. Because after all, he did say 4 amas. He didn't specify which 4 amas, but he said 4 amas. So therefore, according to the Bazar Chazeh rule, that would work. And in that case, he would have a Makom Shvisa someplace. Then it would be like what Shmuel said. Then it would be like what Shmuel said, where it's either one side or the other, and therefore we'd have to subtract that from the amount of his tchum. But we wouldn't say that he has only 4 amos, like Rabbi said.
So you would have 2,000 minus 4.
So you'd have 2,000 minus 4, essentially, right? Okay. So we'll continue. We'll continue with this tomorrow, Beis Hashem. We were having some glitches at the beginning, so I'll just recap quickly what we were saying before. I don't think we have time to really go over it in detail, but we started by saying that Rav had said that in our Mishnah, when Rav Shimon had said that you have the 3 chaseiros, and the middle one is able to carry to each of the 2 outer ones, but the outer ones are not able to carry to each other outer one. So Rav had said, that's according to Rav Shimon. The Chachamim had said that only one Rishus can serve 2, but not the other way around. We had Rashi and Tosfos argue what that means. Rashi says it means the middle one. The middle one can carry within their area only, and the outer ones can carry within their area and the middle one. Tosfos said the other way around, the middle one can carry with each of the other ones, but the outer ones can only carry in their own chatzar. The Chachamim, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, says, so that would be what the Chachamim, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, says. Shmuel says that no, Rabbi Shimon would agree with that definition, that even the middle one can't necessarily carry to all of them, or the middle ones can't necessarily carry to the middle one. The Chachamim, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, would say each one can only carry within their one chatzar. And then we brought a Braisa, which goes like Shmuel's explanation, that the Braisa says, that the Chachamim, meaning Rabbi Yehuda, say that all 3 of them would be also, each one can only carry within their one chatzar. And we brought a case where we have a chatzar that's located between 2 mavoyas, where they could make a shit of mavoyus with one or the other. And we said that Shmuel says that if they make a shit of mavoyus with the one, with each one of them, but separately, then the result is that it's not allowed to carry to either one of them, which means that Shmuel says it would be the same thing as Shmuel says about the chatzeres, because Shmuel holds, in other words, as we said, Rashi says, Shmuel agrees that halacha is like Rav Shimon, but he says even Rav Shimon is not allowing the middle one to carry to each of the other ones. The same thing, Rav Shimon would not allow here this chatzer to carry to each of the other mavoyas. And he said, then we continue with what are the cases, what if it doesn't make a shittuf at all with either one of them, what if it makes a shittuf with only one of them, and that was that whole discussion over there. Okay. Yeah. Sorry for everyone.